حفيظ إبراهيم، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Welcome back again today with us, Haji Ibrahim. How's your past day been here in South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, I'm far from Gauteng, here on the border between KZN and Mpumalanga. I'm in Volksrust, just getting ready for Eid.
Mashallah.
So quite cold, and everybody's in the same mode, patrolling and just being vigilant.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you with afia, inshallah. Hafiz Ibrahim, tell us about the media camps, part of your Hajj diary.
So I want to focus more on the camp at Arafah, but I'll just say about the camp in Mina. We have to understand that Hajj is, you know, just for those days in the year. So making anything too permanent or too elaborate wouldn't make sense. So the camps are basic, more advanced than your normal tents. So it's a bit of a zinc structure. In Mina, it's very close to the Jamara. And it's a kind of complex where I'm not sure if it has become any much more elaborate since then, but it's got eating areas, collective eating areas, separate rooms where different groups of journalists live together, sleep together, and it's a good opportunity for you in these rooms where you get to mix with journalists from different parts of the world. And then there's a separate internet zone where people do their uploads, people are able to do their connections back home. And then there are media rooms that obviously give you that overview right on the roof of the entire Mina. This is one place that I had the opportunity, alhamdulillah, when you have these collective eatings, just a huge plate for a few people to sit together. And I wouldn't know for sure, but the size of the pieces and the size of the bones made me believe that we were being served camel meat that particular day at Mina. But as far as Arafah, Mulana, so the Arafah camp is a bit different. It's a huge compound. It is right outside Masjid Namira. And essentially not being, all the rooms in one place. They are scattered rooms throughout this compound. Again, kind of zinc insulated structures. But the key thing about this is that it overlooks Masjid Namira, key point in Arafah. And there's this media tower that people then ascend. And this is where people, it's more suited, I would say, than anything else for your picture journalists and for your television journalists, where you get this vista of Masjid Namira and you get the good backdrop for your picture. And it's also good for having your satellite connections, having all your electrical connections in one place versus if you go out in Arafah, where there's many stories waiting for you, you're not going to be having that luxury at hand wherever you go. Once you're on top of this tower, obviously there's a kind of calmness that settles down. At the time the Arafah khutbah starts, which in our sense today is going to be about an hour from now. And then after that, you can just sit there watching the whole afternoon, how this, the ebb and flow of people, how people are doing different things. Some people are giving out food, some people are giving out water. Some people don't even seem like they're making dua, but it's sufficient that they are in Arafah, and many people just clamor or come towards special places, be it Masjid Namira, be it Jabal Rahmah. And people just moving around the whole afternoon looking for shade. Literally, you don't have to do anything. You just have to sit there, look out, and describe the picture. And there'll be more than a million things for you to describe.
I believe, Hafiz Ibrahim, you had a memorable experience in a helicopter trip over Arafah.
So this, you spoke, Marana, yesterday about some of the, if you'd like, perks that come with being an officially accredited journalist. And perhaps this was the biggest one, if you'd like. And it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody who is an accredited journalist will get this. It's basically based on, you know, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, chosen for you, and as they go through their processes, just the kind of random selection of a couple of journalists, what is practical on that day. So you are there, like I mentioned yesterday, in Arafah, even before the people come. And that's the whole strategy of the media coverage that they adopt, is that you have to be there ahead of the crowd. Mm. So you are in this camp in Arafah. You have to submit your names overnight if you're interested in going. And to me, it seems everybody doesn't know about it. So you know, some people who have gone before tell you about these things. You submit your name, and fortunately, we were selected. So very early on, about 7-8 a.m. in the morning, they take you, you go to the edge of the camp, and then they drive you out. I would say a good 15-20 minutes out of Arafah, some nestled somewhere in the mountains, is this military camp. Mm. And it's very solemn, you know, with all the military protocol that you have to go through, and you're not sure what's going on. Not too much of you know, friendliness, I guess, because it's part of a Hajj security operation as well. But then you go onto the tarmac at this airport, if you'd like, and then a military helicopter is waiting for you there. And obviously huge with open sides, so you essentially exposed to the wind. And this is the first memory that comes to mind. You know, you are wearing ihram. Not every journalist is wearing ihram. Not everybody's performing Hajj, but a good number are. And you're wearing ihram, going in this military helicopter with those propellers, and going in that wind. That ihram really kind of tugs off you, the amount of wind that's blowing around you. You have to hold on to that ihram for dear life on the one hand. But once you overcome that and you get some sort of elevation, there's two or three major sites that stick in my mind. The one was, when you see these buses from the top, that kind of aerial picture, just the thousands of buses. Mm. Some of them are making their way to Arafah. Some of them are parked off in depots near Arafah. Just to see the roofs of those buses gives you a scale of this journey. And what can that, you know, airflip be more special than that flip over Jabal Rahmah? Mm. And it's still early morning hours, but already you can see those pictures that come to us, you know, through the media every year, of this mountain clothed in white. And it's just a special feeling of serenity to see that mountain, and very clearly the pillar on that mountain that sticks out. And there's also, after that, you also notice as you come down closer to Dhuhr time, the amount of movement of buses and last-minute movement, last-minute checkpoints. And there's many Saudis who perhaps they call them illegal pilgrims, who try to rush into Arafah just for that particular day. So there's many cars and a lot of traffic beyond buses also on that particular day. What was the most intimidating, Mawlana, I must say, is when you, everybody around you are serious photojournalists, and they come with their big lenses and most expensive cameras. And here, this is 10 years ago, I didn't come prepared for this at all. Came with a small household camera. And, you know, at every point, people are asking you, where's your camera? Do you have your camera? Is it charged? And you kind of just don't want to avoid that question, sitting with a small camera. But fortunately, I even with that, was able to capture Jabal Rahmah, capture the buses. And more than that, those images etched in the back of my mind even till now.
Subhanallah, fortunate indeed, Hafiz Saab. As yesterday you did mention that, you know, the overall experience for a journalist during the Hajj is somewhat different to that of the normal Haji. But in terms of Arafah, it's a special day for all. You mentioned one memorable experience, and it was the helicopter trip over Arafah. But the rest of the day is something that stands out for you during that Hajj?
So once you obviously there, and one could just take the technical understanding that you are in Arafah, so your wukuf is done. But who wants to miss on that opportunity to obviously spend some time in dua and break away from the coverage? And as it is, nobody's calling you every second of the time. So once it happened in the camp, it was a bit of a strange feeling. Not too many people from the journalists, obviously, getting time to spend a dedicated time in wukuf and ibadah. But the other was really hands down the best experience in Arafah, and that was when I was asked to be stationed atop Jabal Rahmah. For the entire period of the wukuf period. So obviously we know there's no particular significance to ascend this mountain or anything like that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was basically at the foot of the mountain. But being on this mountain is a symbol that's emblematic of Arafah. And usually you'd find that many people do come to Jabal Rahmah, but just for a few minutes people come and go. But here it was unique to be there for the full duration. And I feel that there's something special about the mountains. And when you have this kind of physical elevation, it lends to more solitude, more spiritual elevation. And you connected with the elements of nature. So this is what I should say is people think you'll never get a space on this mountain. That's not true. Maybe you might need to climb a bit, and that's a bit intimidating wearing your ihram. But there's always place on this mountain, and many people come and go throughout the day. And this is where you get this true blending, I feel, of humanity versus. Which is obviously there for practical reasons. When you're in the camp, you're with your own. Whereas here, people from all colors, all places are there, and you blended and you're right there amongst them. And you never ever, Mawlana, get tired on Jabal Rahmah with your ibadah. Obviously, you'd have periods of doing different things, but whenever you're getting a bit of a slump, you just have to turn your head and see somebody around you, how they, meeting the moment with their du'as, and that will just give you that impetus to carry on. And the last thing I'll have to say about this is, we get that, beautiful anecdote from one of our pious predecessors of how, this time is like an ice block that's melting away. And I would say on this day of Arafah, because of your setting, because of your station on this mountain, you've got a clear view of the movement, and you've got a clear view of the sun. And when you see that sun setting, it's as if that ice block is melting. And you now can see that you've got so little time left to make dua, and that just exerts you right till the end. Whereas other people in camp sometimes are already, instructed by the agents to start moving because of logistical reasons. You've got the moment right till that sun sets, and you go, you maximize it right until the end, so much so that when that sun sets, you are kind of totally devastated, and you actually want to stay there. You want to stay there on that mountain and not let go because of how special that experience was. And that I would say is perhaps the highlight of everything that I've experienced in Arafah over the years. And I'd really do that over and over again if the opportunity comes. And needless to say, one more thing, voila, staying there for 5-6 hours, even with the umbrella, you come out solidly sunburnt and baked after that afternoon.
Jazakumullah khairan for your time this morning, Hafiz Ibrahim Musa. As always, it's appreciated. Jazakumullah.
Shukran wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.